Our first reading is from Hebrews 10, verses 23 through 25. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Our second reading is from Matthew 22, verses 35 through 40. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that they are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless our understanding of these readings.
Thanks be to God. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm here to talk to you about my great experience going to Back Bay Mission on this wonderful mission trip with my fellow church people. It was truly a memorable experience. Over the years, I have heard people talk from the front of the church about their experiences, and I was moved to try it out this year for the first time. So it was very, very great experience for me personally. I had an idea of what we were going to do, but didn't really understand fully what it was like till I got there. And I did find to some extent that it was a lot like summer camp for adults. We got to stay in a bunkhouse. The girls stayed in one side, the men stayed in the other. We had absolutely delicious meals prepared by Rita Rem, and it was great, and I was a little concerned the first night that I wouldn't sleep very well because I didn't know how I would do sleeping in a bunk and all this. So when I got up the next morning and sat at the breakfast table across from Sarah Brown, I announced that I had slept so well. I said, wow, I slept really great. I didn't hear anybody snoring last night. And as I looked at her face, I saw something flicker across her eye. And I said, did I snore? She very politely said, oh, it wasn't very loud. And it wasn't the whole time. Actually, you snored for a little bit, then you stopped, and this other woman took over, and you sounded kind of like the same going back and forth, you know? And I thought, oh my God, she's so nice and she's so polite to say it that way. But she made it seem like it wasn't a problem. So anyway, we did have a lot of fun. The work that we did when we got there, we were told that our project was going to be to replace the decks and the stairway of all the Back Bay Mission buildings. So that's what we were mostly busy doing. Lori Martin and I and Lori Chadwick from Newtown also got to do some cleaning. They have an apartment building for homeless veterans, and we got to clean out this apartment. The gentleman that had been there before had gone to the hospital and passed away, so it was time to turn it over and get it all ready for the next homeless person. It's another thing that we did was we went to their MICA center where they have facilities there so homeless people can come and take a shower. They can bring their clothes in to have their clothes laundered, and they have access to a computer so that, you know, they can do some job searching. And they also need a lot of volunteers to get all these tasks done. So that's what we were busy doing. We also went to the soup kitchen they call Loaves and Fishes. And there we helped to prepare breakfast and lunch, where sometimes 70 or 80 people would show up for meals. We were very busy as Back Bay Mission volunteers, but also I was very impressed with the local people that came to volunteer and work alongside all of us. And it was amazing to see their spirit, how they were not well off themselves, but yet they took the time to come and help people who were worse off than they are. So I thought the spirit of the community was shining bright there. I also noticed how appreciative everybody was of all the work that we did. And that's always a bonus, I think. I don't think it's necessary, but certainly it's a bonus. Back Bay Mission has been there since the 1920s, and any given year, the Back Bay Mission has a long list of people who request help to either rebuild or repair their homes, and so many of them, you know, are at the tail end of the list, and it takes many, many years before they can get the help. So I hope that we will continue to go on these Back Bay missions. I hope we can attract new people to go, and so that you can be of service and help these people, and in turn, get a lot of satisfaction yourself. So I hope we will be there to help for many years to come. Thanks.
Good morning, everyone. For those of you who don't know, my name is Sarah Brown. I'm sorry, I forgot my name tag this morning. I was supposed to wear it. And this was my very first adult mission trip. And I cannot be more blessed to be standing in front of you guys right now today to share my experience with you. So, a brief history: in the first full week of the year, a group of adults from our church typically travels down to Biloxi, Mississippi to give their time and efforts in making a difference in someone's life. Back Bay Mission recently went through a rebranding, and I'd like to share with you their new motto: strengthening neighborhoods, seeking justice, transforming lives. Today in my message, I want to focus a little more on the third part, transforming lives. The following is an excerpt from the Back Bay Mission website. All of our programs transform lives, whether it's helping a homeowner keep their home, mentoring a single mother as she plans her path out of poverty, or working with an intern who is thinking about a career in social work. We're making the lives of the people we serve better. Here, Back Bay really focuses on the transformation of the people we serve, but Back Bay also transforms the lives of the volunteers working with them. Going on the adult mission trip definitely transformed my life, and I'm sure it made a huge impact on other people who went on the trip as well. Personally, my first semester of college was a little scary. Whirlwind of homework, classes, studying, and ultimately exams, and then poof, it's over, and I'm like, what do I do now? But I had something new to look forward to. It was my very first adult mission trip. So I had been to Biloxi previously in my freshman year of high school, and it was the most rewarding and fulfilling experience in my whole high school career. It was my favorite youth mission trip that I went on. So I spent the next 4 years waiting and like counting down the years until it was my time to go again on the adult one, and I couldn't wait. And finally, it was my time to go again. So I just have to say that this trip was just as fulfilling as my first one, maybe even more. It gets better with age. That's how these things work, right? It gets better with age. So I was a little unsure at first how useful I'd be on the trip because I was the baby of the trip. I was the youngest. I didn't have very much construction experience, but I did learn a lot. I was at Homeport most of the week, and Homeport is a veteran housing project built and managed by Back Bay, and we needed to redo the deck. So none of my experience level ended up mattering. All I needed was a willingness to learn, and there was always someone right behind me willing to teach me how to do it and show me so I could do it on my own. So I ripped up old decking and I laid down brand new fancy composite materials, and I thought it was the greatest thing I've ever done. I'm so proud of that deck. And I thought I was just so proud to be part of building something, and I never imagined I'd be able to do it by myself, or even with this group of amazing people I was with. And I think building that deck impacted me more, or probably about as equally as it's gonna impact the people living in those apartments that will use that deck every single day, they'll step out on it. And I did that. But during my week down south, I was also just as impressed to see the willingness and eagerness to help displayed in my fellow mission trippers. Everyone came together as one team to lift each other up and create great things on the worksites. However, being at the worksites wasn't the only time I experienced this warm, welcoming group environment. Back at the mission house where we stayed, the atmosphere was so warm and enjoyable. We were all one big family playing cards, finishing puzzles, or trying to, as you saw on the front of your bulletin. And we watched some football games and we helped Rita, well, probably got in Rita's way, as she made us delicious, delicious dinners. And it was a huge hodgepodge family coming together to make a difference in the world. And I can't wait to go back. Thank you.
I'm gonna come over here because my iPad will fit over here. And mine is a lot more preachy. Good morning.
Good morning.
A favorite non-mission related memory of Back Bay Mission for some of our team might be a warm sunset over Biloxi Beach. For others, it might be dinner and drinks in New Orleans, or listening to some live music at Darwell's Cafe in Gulfport. But my favorite is the simple pleasure of enjoying a sandwich made by my sweetheart,
aww,
made with love, after a hard morning's work. Thank you, darling. One of our favorite activities in Biloxi is breaking out one of the collections of jigsaw puzzles that Back Bay keeps in their cabinets. After breezing through an easy 500-piecer in about 2 hours on the first night, someone got out a fiendish 1,000-piece puzzle, a nightmare that wasn't solved until Thursday. And even then, there was one piece missing. All the puzzle workers went around for the next couple of hours challenging each and every one of us. Did you take that last piece? Did you take the last piece? Thinking that, you know, someone wanted the fame and glory of placing the last piece. Finally, we just decided it was a 999-piece puzzle with one missing piece. But do you know what the missing piece of any mission puzzle is? Look on your front covers. That's right, the missing piece of any mission puzzle is you. So this morning I bring you greetings from Kenny Washington, Director of Client Services, Craig Steenkamp, Associate for Housing Recovery, and Twyla Holloway, Emergency Assistance Case Manager, and the rest of the staff from the Back Bay Mission. Here's a picture of Ms. Twyla inside the Back Bay Mission Food Pantry. I bring you the sincere thanks and blessings from Mr. John and Ms. Rochelle Gaddis from Gulfport, who, along with their dog Sputnik, the German Shepherd, blessed us with a home to rebuild. Here's a picture of Mr. John and Craig. Here's a picture of Mr. John and me presenting a true craftsman's hammer to Craig. Perhaps many of you got the chance to meet Craig when he came north for the dedication of the Micah Chapel. As I said, Sputnik blessed us loudly and often. And I bring you greetings from the Reverend Lutheran Fairley Jr. and the congregation of the Main Street Missionary Baptist Church. Diana Ruddick asked me several weeks ago to present a message at our regular Wednesday night trip to the Main Street Church. A lot of that message is what I'm presenting to you this morning. So I asked her what was expected, and as we are both former deacons, she told me, just make it a little longer than a Salmon Brook message. As many of you know, each month our deacons conduct a service at Salmon Brook Nursing Center with a few hymns, a scripture reading, communion, and a mini sermon. And after the service, Pastor Fairley seemed rather disappointed that I had not completely taken advantage of my 30-minute time slot. The only thing that I could think of to soothe the situation was a quote that I heard once attributed to our beloved Carl Schultz. Della's not here, but Della, I apologize, but I told Pastor Fairley that we Congregationalists have a saying that we believe in one God, one faith, and 1 hour. I'm afraid I might have given away one of our secrets to the Baptists. Almighty Lord and everlasting God, vouchsafe, we beseech thee, to direct, sanctify, and govern both our hearts and our bodies in the ways of thy laws and in the works of thy commandments, that through thy most mighty protection, both here and ever, we may be preserved in body and soul through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Does anyone recognize this prayer? It's not fair to guess if you're ordained. The prayer is part of the Alternative Order of Confirmation from the Church of England's 1928 Proposed Book of Common Prayer. The prayer is part of the conclusion of the confirmation service and comes right before the bishop's blessing, which continues as follows. Go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast that which is good. Render to no man, now remember it's 1928, render to no man evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the afflicted, honor all men, love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost be upon you and remain with you forever. Does this sound familiar? Let us now go forth into the world in peace, to be of good courage, to hold fast to that which is good. It's hold fast that which is good. Hold fast, not hold fast to that which is good. It's easy for us to confuse the saying. Hold fast, not hold firm, not stand fast, but hold fast. Hold fast that which is good. And that got me to thinking. So I had to research hold fast, of course, using our primary research tool that we have in the 21st century, Dr. Google. As I said, the commissioning itself is from the 1928 Proposed Book of Common Prayer as the second half of the conclusion to the Order of Confirmation. Perhaps it's taken from chapter 5 of Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, probably written from Corinth, in about AD 51 or 52, which Doug read for you earlier from the King James Version. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Here's a map of Paul's second missionary trip, showing how he's kind of tooling around Greece and the Greek islands. And in fact, hold fast may have first been written in Greek in the word katechete. On maritime vessels in ancient times, sailors were repeatedly encouraged to hold fast. Deckhands traditionally had the 8 letters, H-O-L-D-F-A-S-T, tattooed on their fingers or their knuckles. It meant that during rough seas or perilous moments, you needed to grab hold and not let go of the ship's rigging to save from being swept out to sea and drowning. So my first message is very simple. Hold fast that which is good. Cling tightly to each other, lest either of us be swept out to sea. We're all we've got. A former pastor that I knew, the Reverend Charlie Neese, once told us, you can't be a Christian in isolation from others. We must be in communion with and in contact with others.
Have you ever heard of a beekeeper keeping just one bee? Christianity is like that. We have to work together. Samuel Wells, the vicar of St. Martin's in the Field in London, writes, "Christianity is fundamentally a story about where we're going. Into the company of God's grace, in the harmony of the restored creation, through the mercy of God's incarnate love. Church means giving up the fantasy that we can find fulfillment and righteousness alone. It means doing things at inconvenient times. It means doing things at inconvenient times with eccentric people in sometimes clumsy ways, because life is a team game. And on Judgment Day, God will have nothing to say to us if we think we can just waltz in without the others." Did anyone notice the common theme of the pictures that we selected at the beginning of the service? How about this group shot as we finished up at the Gaddis property? In every single photo, people were smiling. Smiling as they loved their neighbor, smiling as they loved their God. Now, the week was not all home on the range. There might have been even one or two discouraging words. But for the most part, the people of First Church were smiling while doing things at inconvenient times with other eccentric people in sometimes clumsy ways. A mission is an important job that someone is given to do. A mission is an important job that someone is given to do. I ask you, after listening to Jesus in Matthew's scripture that Greg read, and by the way, that's often paraphrased as the greatest commandment, what greater job is there than loving your neighbor, than loving your neighbor by helping your neighbor, than loving your neighbor by serving your neighbor? One of my most distinct memories of my father is serving communion with him in the homes and apartments of elderly and disabled members of my childhood church. We called them shut-ins. As an elder in our church, he considered it his mission to bring the sacraments directly into those people's living rooms. Sometimes it was in a nursing home, sometimes it was in an apartment building, sometimes it was in the housing projects. That service, that mission, was forged deep into my young psyche. In 2 months or so, we'll be sending the youth of First Church to Back Bay Mission, and I predict you'll see the beaming smiles of 40 youth and their advisors, God bless them all, when they return from Biloxi. But we're not sending our youth off to renovate housing or serve meals. We're sending them off to something bigger. We're sending them off to mission. And we're burning the imprint of service and love and neighbor on the hard drives of their young minds and their young spirits. As I wrote in the cover letter in this month's reminder, you all did read your reminder, didn't you? First Church is discerning the form and format of our next major mission initiative, making a difference in the lives of disadvantaged children in Greater Hartford. This kind of mission initiative is going to take all the time and talent and treasure that First Church can muster. Make no mistake about it, big mission is expensive. As Pastor Fairley might have said it, y'all might just as well get up off your wallets and pocketbooks, because we're going to need them. Can I get an amen? But we're not just burning the imprint of service and love and neighbor on the hard drives of our youth. We're tattooing "hold fast" to the knuckles of each and every one of you. Hold fast that which is good. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please, won't you be my neighbor? Amen.